Romans chapter 8. We're studying in this context when we ended last Wednesday evening. I think we got down to about verse 3, but we'll just pick up at verse 1 for the sake of our study tonight. Let's read the first 11 verses. Romans 8, reading in the New King James Version, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. As we began this study last Wednesday evening in this particular chapter, we noted that it is easily connected to the chapter just preceding it, especially verses 23 through verse 25, but the entire subject matter that was addressed in chapter 7 is actually mentioned here again in different ways. We saw the law mentioned in different ways in chapter 7. We'll see it mentioned in different ways here in chapter 8. We could say it actually goes all the way back to chapter 6. Chapter 6, because when one is baptized in chapter 6 and in verse 4, Paul said, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That phrase, the newness of life, is mentioned again when we come to chapter 7. Chapter 7 and verse 6, but now we have been delivered from the law, that is the law of Moses, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve, note this, in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. And so we have the subject matter of the Spirit under consideration and serving in regard to the Spirit in these first 11 verses of Romans chapter 8. Picking up in Romans chapter 8 then in verse 1 in the context, there is therefore now, and note that word now that they're Christians, that's what's under consideration. It was addressed earlier, all the way back again to chapter 6. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who are in Christ Jesus got into Christ Jesus through an obedience to the gospel, just as these saints at Rome had, just as Paul reminded them in chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. So now there is no condemnation. The condemnation under consideration was the condemnation or judgment that was to come upon them when they lived according to the flesh and after the desires and dictates of the flesh, mentioned in chapter 7, verses 13 through the end of the chapter. So there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, in a relationship with Christ Jesus. They get in that relationship through baptism. Now this last phrase, and Brother Randolph asked me about it on Sunday, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Some versions omit that in verse 1, but the King James and the New King James have it. The reason it's omitted is because some of the Greek texts have it and some of the Greek texts do not have it. Now, it might have just been an occasion in which the one copying the text originally simply looked ahead and copied what was at the end of verse 4, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see that at the end of verse 4? That might be why it was included at the end of verse 1, because the one copying the text just looked ahead on the original and wrote it in verse 1 and didn't notice it when he came to verse 4 as well. So some versions have it and some do not. Doesn't matter whether it's there or not because it's in verse 4. So who do not walk according to flesh but according to the Spirit. But since it's addressed in the King James, the New King James, let's remind ourselves of what this means. Who do not walk according to the flesh or after the flesh. One who walks, lives, conducts, behaves himself according to the flesh is governed, ruled by the desires and dictates of the flesh. That is, he lives his life based upon his fleshly desires, his fleshly cravings, his fleshly longings. Whatever his flesh desires, that's what he gives it. And so he lives or walks after or according to the flesh. But those who do not live or walk according to the flesh are those who live or walk according to the Spirit. Spirit. Now we're going to see several times in this context that the phrase Spirit, the word Spirit, is capitalized. Doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is under consideration. We have to figure out from the text whether it's the Spirit of man or the Holy Spirit under consideration. I told you last Wednesday evening that the Spirit there is put in contrast to the flesh, thus it is the Spirit of man. Now we saw that introduced back in chapter 7, where the Spirit of man was constantly at war against the flesh of man. That is, man has a desire to do something, to fulfill the desires, longings, and inclinations of the flesh. But the spiritual part of man, the Spirit, instructed and educated by the Spirit-inspired Word, tells him not to do it. But what does he do? He goes ahead and does it anyway. That is, he fulfills the desires of the flesh. That is, he's got the spiritual side of himself warring against the fleshly side of himself. So that's what's under consideration here in the opening remarks of chapter 8. So there is no condemnation to those who are in a relationship in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to flesh. If you're in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, having been baptized into Him for the remission of sins, and you live your life after the desires and dictates of the flesh, well, there is condemnation. Condemnation or damnation will come to you. You're going to reap that which you sow. You're going to reap spiritual death from that. But there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk, live, behave, conduct themselves according to the Spirit. That is, according to the Spirit that resides in their body, that overpowers or rules over the desires of the flesh. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. We have two laws mentioned here. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I take that simply to be the gospel. It is referred to as the law because it is the will of God. It's the law of God. Any law is a will. It's a rule. And so it is the law of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, under consideration. Well, why is it called the law of the Spirit? Well, because it's given by the Spirit. The Spirit-inspired Word. The Spirit reveals the revelation or the will or the mind of God, the mind of Christ. And so it is referred to as the law of the Spirit. It may also be referred to as the law of the Spirit because it's directed toward the spirit of man and not toward the flesh of man. And so it is referred to as the law of the Spirit of life. Why? Because it produces life. It brings life. It is the gospel. It goes back to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. What kind of salvation? Eternal salvation. Eternal life. So it's the gospel under consideration. And note this, gospel, the law of the Spirit of life, in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death, from the rule of sin and death. Now, where did we see the rule of sin and death? Well, it's back in the previous chapter. Just read back with me in chapter 7 and verse 23. For I see another law in my members, that is the members of my body, another rule, warring against the law of my mind. Remember, the law of my mind is the law of God. Bringing me into captivity to the law of my mind is my mind or my spirit, directed by the Spirit-inspired Word of God. Bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So what has delivered me? What has freed me? What has liberated me from the law of sin and death? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's liberated me from the law of sin, the rule of sin in my life. It's referred to as the rule or law of sin. And death, because it brings spiritual death. Verse 3, Romans 8. For, and there's that Greek conjunction gar, gives reason for what was just stated. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. For, on account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. So we have another law mentioned here. Now, we have the same laws here mentioned in this chapter that we saw in chapter 8. In chapter 8, we saw the law of God, we saw the law of Moses, and we saw the law of rule of sin and death. Here in verse 3, for what the law, that is the law of Moses, could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. The law of Moses could not liberate me from the law, rule of sin and death. Why? It just didn't have any provision to do that. I could sacrifice all the animals on the altars of Israel I wanted to, but the blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away sin. There was no provision in the law of Moses by which I could be forgiven of my sin. All the sacrifices that was made on the altars of Israel looked forward to the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so now we have no condemnation in Christ Jesus if we do not walk according to the flesh. So what the law of Moses could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Now, there was nothing wrong with the law of Moses. Remember what Paul said about it in verse 12 of chapter 7. Therefore the law is holy, the commandment holy and just and good. There was nothing wrong with the law that God gave through Moses. What was the problem was, is those to whom it was given to was weak through the flesh because they violated the law. And once they violated the law, they stood condemned. And there was no means of them being forgiven of that sin. And so it was weak through the flesh because they violated it. The only one who did not violate the law was the Lord Jesus Christ. But He was subject to the law just like every other Jew was subject to the law. As a matter of fact, He brings that up. God, so what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did. God did by sending His own Son, note this, in the likeness of sinful flesh. Now, if you're reading from New International Version, some other versions, they render that phrase sinful nature, which is a total distortion of what's under consideration and total distortion of the Greek phrase itself. Man is not born with a sinful nature. You know, that comes from total hereditary depravity, the Calvinist doctrine. So, you have to be on the watch out for that, especially in the New International Version. Very heavily influenced by Calvinism. So what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did. God brought about the forgiveness of our sins because the law couldn't do that. Remember, He had just mentioned in verse 24 of chapter 7, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God delivers me from this body of death. This body that brings spiritual death. Because in this body I give in to the desires and inclinations of the flesh, and that's what results of it. Spiritual death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And the likeness of sinful flesh simply means that Christ came to this earth as man. And He was subject to sin, and that's why it's referred to as sinful flesh here, just like every other man was subject to sin. The only difference is He did not sin. He did not violate the law of God. If He had violated the law of God, He would have stood condemned. But He did not violate the law of God like man generally does. He did not give in to desires, inclinations, and cravings of the flesh. He had desires of the flesh just like we did. If not, He was not fully man nor fully God. But we understand that He was, and we might not understand how that was, that He could be fully man and fully God, but He was. But He committed those sins, though He came into this world just like every other man. God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Note this, for, the King James Version says, better understood, is on account of sin. He came into this world in sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemns sin in the flesh. That the righteous requirements, the King James Version just used the word righteousness, but it has reference to the requirements in the righteous law of God, that the righteous requirements of the law, and again, the law under consideration is the law of Moses, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's that phrase again. Who do not walk according to the flesh. We do not live, behave, and conduct ourselves after desires and dictates of the flesh. We're spiritually minded people. We're to become spiritually stronger all the time. And the Spirit is to overrule the fleshly part of man. It's to overcome the fleshly part of man and direct us on the right path of life. So we do not walk according to the flesh, but according to Spirit. Verse 5, Romans 8. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the flesh. Those who live set their mind, that is, they mind, or they're intent on fulfilling the desires and inclinations of the flesh. Those who live according to the flesh, they set their mind on the things of the flesh. That is, their intent and purpose is to fulfill the desires and inclinations of the flesh. But, note the contrast, those who live according to the Spirit, and again, it's the Spirit of man, the things of the Spirit. So we set our mind on the things of the Spirit. We set our mind on spiritual things. Our mind is not set, it has not the intention of gratifying every desire, craving, and longing of the flesh. No, our desire, intent, and purpose is to attain to those things that are spiritual, to those things that are higher than the flesh. Remember, we're to set our mind on things above and not on things of the earth, Paul told the Colossian brethren. Verse 6, Romans 8. For to be carnally minded or fleshly minded, that's the idea, what is it? It's death. That is, it's spiritual death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be spiritually minded is to have life, spiritual life. And it's also to have peace, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, in a relationship with Him. No longer separated from Him by our sin. because we've been reconciled by his blood. Thus we're on peaceful terms with him. So to be carnally minded is death. That's what it brings. It brings spiritual death. Now all of this goes back into the previous chapter. We saw these things mentioned before in different ways. Note back in chapter 7 and verse 13. Has then what is good become death to me? That's the law. Has then what is good brought about my spiritual death? Has the law brought about my spiritual death? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death, spiritual death in me, through what is good, that is through the law. So this is just a continuation of what was already spoken about. Back up in chapter 7 and verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. That is to bear fruit to spiritual death. Note that. When we were in the flesh. Well, when were these individuals in the flesh? Were they not in the flesh physically then? In the flesh doesn't have reference to the physical existence of them. In the flesh means that they were living in harmony with the flesh, walking in harmony with the desires and inclinations of the flesh. And so we see that here in verse 6, Romans 8. For to be carnally minded or fleshly minded is death. It's spiritual death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7, Romans 8. Because the carnal man, that is the fleshly man, is enmity against God. Enmity is hatred, opposition, hostility toward God. The fleshly man is enmity against God. How is that? How is the fleshly man enmity or hostility toward God? Because the flesh craves that which is contrary to God's will. The flesh can crave that which is in harmony with God's will, but most of the time, man wants to satisfy the cravings and longings of the flesh, and it doesn't matter how they satisfy them, either in a lawful way or an unlawful way. And when we seek to satisfy them in an unlawful way, for example, man has a desire or a craving for a sexual union with a woman, not his wife. Thus he commits adultery or fornication. He satisfies that craving or longing in an unlawful way. It's contrary to God. It's opposed to God. It's hostility to God. So that's what's under consideration here. When he says in verse 7, because the carnal man is flesh, or the fleshly man is enmity against God. Note this. For it is not subject to the law of God. Why is the fleshly man, the fleshly way of thinking, living, acting, and behaving, why is it not subject to the law of God? But the word of God is directed toward the spiritual part of man, not toward the fleshly part of man. That's why that's so there in verse 7. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. The reason it's not subject to the law of God, the flesh is not subject to the law of God, because the flesh, the word of God's not directed toward the flesh of man, it's directed toward the spirit of man. Verse 8, Romans 8. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, don't get the idea that those who are in the flesh, well, we're all in the flesh, so if we take in the flesh to be in our physical bodies, well, we can't please God. We can't be acceptable to God. So in the flesh has to mean something else. Now, where have you seen that phrase before, in the flesh? Again, back in chapter 7. Back in chapter 7 and verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. That is, the spiritual death. For when we were in the flesh. The phrase, when we were in the flesh, is before they were Christians, before they become spiritually minded people, before they put the old man of sin to death, they were in the flesh. They served sin as their master. Now they're servants of righteousness, remember? So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Those who are fleshly minded are those who are in the flesh. Those who are carnally minded are those who are in the flesh. Those who live, walk, conduct, behave themselves according to desires and dictates of the flesh are in the flesh. They're living in harmony with their flesh. They cannot please God. Now that doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or whether you're not a Christian. If we take the last phrase of verse 8 connected with that, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh. If you walk, live, behave, and conduct yourself after the desires and dictates of the flesh, and you're in Christ Jesus, you're going to be condemned for it. You're going to reap what you sow. But if you walk according to the Spirit, and you're in Christ Jesus, you will not be condemned. All right, Romans 8 and in verse 9. Note, after having said what he said, and let's read verse 8 in connection with verse 9. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. These people to whom Paul was writing, were they not physically in the flesh? Yes, they were, but that's not, again, what the phrase means. You're not in the flesh. Why are they not in the flesh? Well, because they're not living, conducting, behaving themselves according to desires and dictates of the flesh. They put that old man of sin to death in baptism. They have been raised from that watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of spirit. That is, their spirit is new. They've been regenerated. They're a new creature in Christ Jesus. So, verse 9 of Romans 8, but you're not in the flesh, note this, but you're in the Spirit. You're in the Spirit. Now, what does that mean, they're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit? They're spiritually minded people. They're spiritually minded people. They're not carnally minded people. They're spiritually minded people. They set their mind on things of the Spirit. Go back to verse 6. To be carnally minded or fleshly minded is death, spiritual death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. Again, it's the spirit of man who is under consideration. And then he mentions the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. But he mentions the Holy Spirit by two different terms here. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Do you see that? The Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of God in the first part, and then the latter part, it's the Spirit of Christ. They're the same thing. There's not two spirits, remember, as Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4. There's but one Spirit. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ. Is the Holy Spirit. They're all the same. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. There's that word dwell. We noted it in a recent lesson about the Word of God dwelling in us, taking up a habitation in us. Well, we know that the Spirit of God does not take up a literal habitation in us. So how does the Spirit of God dwell in us? As the Word of God dwells in us, the Spirit of God dwells in us. As the Word of God dwells in us, the Spirit of Christ dwells in us. As the Word of God is in us, God is in us. As the Word of God is in us, Christ is in us. Note verse 10. And if Christ is in you, well, how is Christ in you? He's in you the same way the Spirit of God is in you. He's in you the same way the Spirit of Christ is in you. He's in you through the Word. That's the medium by or through which God is in you. He's not literally in you. He's in you through the Word. So you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You're not fleshly minded. You're not living according to the desires and dictates and cravings of the flesh, but you're living according to the desires and dictates of your spirit. The spirit who sets his mind on spiritual things. The spirit who is concerned about his spiritual well-being. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Yes, you live in the Spirit if the Spirit dwells in you, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, and of course He dwells in you by or through the Word. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, note this, he is not His. That is, you don't belong to Him. You're not in a relationship with Him. You're not His. Verse 10, Romans 8. And if Christ is in you, note this, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness or justification. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. What does that mean, the body is dead? Is the spirit in you? All of you who are Christians would say, yes, the spirit is in me. The word of God abides in my soul. The Word of God dwells in me. That means the Spirit dwells in you. Christ is in you through the Word. Well, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. Is your body physically dead? No, you're very much alive. So we have to understand what the body is here under consideration. What is the body? What is dead? If Christ is in you, the body is dead, note this, because of sin. But the Spirit is life, that is your spirit, is life because of righteousness or justification. The body. Jump down to verse 13. Verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. You'll die spiritually. But if by the Spirit, that's your spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you live. You see that? The deeds of the body. The deeds, works, actions, behaviors of the body. It's simply another way of referring to the desires, inclinations, and cravings of the flesh. So, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead. That is, that old man of sin is dead. That is the body of which the members are part of, remember, back in chapter 6, that were used as instruments of unrighteousness or ungodliness. That's the body that is under consideration. The body is dead. It's spiritually dead. That old man of sin is spiritually dead. Goes all the way back to chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 2. Verse 1, chapter 6. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who, note this, died to sin live any longer in it? Well, when did we die to sin? Well, in baptism. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. That is, in our death to sin, we died to sin. That just as Christ was raised from the dead, there's His resurrection by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There's our resurrection. Verse 5, for if we've been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Jumping down to verse 7, Romans 6. For he who has died has been freed from sin. He's been freed from that body of death. Go back to Romans 7. Romans 7 and verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? This body that brings death. Because this body brings death. Why? Because I give in to the desires and inclinations of the flesh. It brings death. And so that's the body that is under consideration here in verse 10. Romans 8 and verse 10. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. The body is spiritually dead because of sin. You put him to death. But the Spirit is life. That's right. You brought the Spirit alive in baptism because of righteousness, that is, because of justification. Remember, when we're baptized, we're not only washed of our sins, but we're justified. Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were justified, you were sanctified. Verse 11, before we run out of time, Romans 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, again, the Spirit under consideration is the Holy Spirit, goes back to verse 9, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, also referred to as the Spirit of Christ. So if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, if the Word of God dwells in you, then the Spirit who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through the Spirit who dwells in you. So the Spirit's going to raise you as the Spirit raised the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, He's going to get into that. Having mentioned that, He'll get into that in verse 17 and following about our resurrection from the dead. But He mentions it here. Then He'll begin to address it in verse 18 and following. Almost out of time. Questions or comments? Went kind of fast. All right, thank you very much. We're out of time. We'll have to pick up at verse 12, Romans 8 and verse 12, next Wednesday evening.